Amen, amen, amen. I have the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir to sing for you this morning. Straight from Brooklyn. Turn it up. I think you'll love this song. I have not lost my praise.
I've lost some good friends a long life's way. Some loved ones departed in heaven to stay. But thank God I
turn
didn't
it up.
Lose everything.
Listen to this song. Listen.
I've lost faith in people who said they care. In the time of my crisis, they were never there. But in my disappointment, in my season of pain, one thing never wavered. One thing never changed.
never lost my praise. Never lost my praise. Give him praise. Give him praise. Give him praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I hope you enjoyed that. Hallelujah. This morning, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. 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 Hiramakurata satai. Speak, O God. Speak, Jesus. Speak to us, O Lord. Speak to us, O Lord. Speak to us, O Lord. Hallelujah. 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 God's desire to always talk to us. Sometimes it's hard to get through our thick skull in our own ways and our own thought patterns. It's hard for God to get through that so that he can get to the heart. God moves in your heart. He wants to come out from the heart, not into the heart. We need to understand today the true meaning of worship. The true meaning of worship. I love what that song, The Heart of Worship, when it said, Lord, forgive me for what I have made worship into. Worship has been made into so many other categories that is not truly worship. It is entertainment. And God wants to get you out of the entertainment and into worship. This morning, I'd like to give us some basic teaching on what it means to truly worship God. When many of us think about worship, we sometimes think of a slow song, slow music, or waving our hands in the air, or in today's world, maybe more of upbeat music, you know, high entertainment music. That's what we call worship. Worship in today's churches have gone by the wayside, and it's become more entertaining. Now, don't get me wrong, I love some of the songs that are out there. They're wonderful songs. There's nothing wrong with those songs. But it's entertainment. Okay? What you just saw by the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir could have been entertainment because it was great. It was a great lyrics, great music, great song. But what transformed it from entertainment to worship was the heart. what they were saying, they said from their heart, not from their mouth. And that's where God wants us, is in that being of heartfelt, not mouthfelt. But true worship starts on the inside of you. The Greek word for worship is proskuneo. Proskuneo. That's a word I won't try to say again. Which means prostrating, bowing to, and laying aside your own self and your own life for God. That's true worship. To worship God is to bow your desires down before Him and let His will be done in your life. It is an inward state of being that continually honors and reverences God. That's true worship. That's true worship. In Matthew 4:10, I believe Jesus demonstrates the manner in which we should always be willing to lay down our lives and our bodies as a living sacrifice, even during temptation. In this scripture, you see Satan, look, his last time that he's coming at Jesus. You understand, Jesus came down to this earth to win this earth for God, right? He came down to give this earth something that this earth has never had. And that is salvation. That is Jesus. Well, Satan knew that. Just like he knows every little detail in you. He knows how to get to you. Okay? If he will, and if he can, he will. Try. He tried with Jesus. And in this trial, he took him to the top of the world, a pinnacle of the world. See, this is what Jesus' job was, is to come to this world and give this world salvation. But Satan destroys that by saying it this way, I'll give you the world. I'll give you everything, because who is the prince of the world? The prince of the air is Satan. So he knows he has that authority right at that point in time. It's changed. But at that point in time, he says, I have it all. I'll give it all to you, Jesus. You won't have to go out there and preach. You won't have to go do anything. It's going to be a free gift from me to you. Well, that could entice anyone, you know, anyone, any one of us. But that's the way he talks. He throws out tidbits of what he wants. But now the real clincher came when he says, all you have to do, Jesus, is bow down to me and worship me. And if you will do that, I will give you everything that you want. Everything that you came here for will be given to you on a silver platter. All you have to do is bow and worship me. Doesn't he? Does Satan do that to you? Think of some of the thoughts and things that you've gone through. Think of some of the temptations that you've been hit by. And some of the temptations you have allowed yourself to be swayed into. Come on. We're all human. And Jesus was human at that time too. And Jesus had the ability to say, well, this is easy. I can do this. You know, I don't have to die. I don't have to go to the cross. I'm going to get it all on a silver platter. I'll just do it just this one time. That's the way that Satan tempts. Temptation. I'll just do it this one time. I'll just do it this one time. That one time is the one time that can destroy your faith in God if you yield to that temptation. Yield. But we all know the story. Jesus would not yield to the story. In fact, here's his response. Be gone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and him alone shall you serve. Oh, my goodness. His response should be what every Christian should be responding to when that temptation comes at you. Sometimes it's going to come at you very subtly. Sometimes it's going to come at you strong. Okay? But whatever it is, we need to respond as Jesus responds. Get out of here, Satan! Be gone! Get away! Get out! For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you serve. Jesus laid down the temptation to yield to his flesh in order to accomplish a greater mission. So likewise, you have to be willing to put God before everything else in your life. I think I need to say that again. You need to be able to put down everything, including your life. In Oregon, when that guy stepped into that room, took each person up, made them stand, and asked them one simple question. Are you a Christian? Those that commented, yes, I am a Christian, he shot them in the head. Those that did not, he shot them in the leg. They still got shot. Okay? It's going to come a time you are going to, and I believe in this world, this age, this society, things that we're going through today are not going to get any easier for Christians. You got to stand up for your faith or lose your faith. It's going to come from the heart and not the mind. Hallelujah. That's why I'm teaching on worship today. Because if you don't have worship in the heart and you only have it in the mind, you're going to lose what you do in the mouth. You're going to lose. Let me take you another step farther. We must understand that praise and worship is vocal. Come on. Now, I'm not telling you that you can't find your war room and pray in your war room. I'm not telling you that you can't pray silently in your war room. You know? But I am telling you, when that feeling in the heart comes, it's going to bellow out. There's three Greek words. I was talking to my granddaughter last night on how the Bible actually really formed. It was formed in Greek and Hebrew and Arabic. Okay? That's the formulation of our word, this Bible. Okay? The reason why it was formed in that's what they spoke. Okay? When Latin came into being, you know, King James decided, you know, I got to make this so that everyone can read. Not just the high up priest or the scholars. I want to make it available for everyone. So he flipped it from the Latin back in that day to the English language, old English language, which everybody could understand back then. As society grows and our language changes, a lot of times the old English is very difficult for us to understand. And I believe God understood that too. So God gave us a variety of versions. Doesn't take away. When a version of the Bible takes away from the Bible, we better be careful. But if it just takes some of those old English sayings out and gives us English sayings that we can understand, some of the younger generation can understand, some of the newer converts can understand, then there's nothing wrong with it. That's where New King James, some of the NIVs, some of the other versions. But let's just get back to the basics of what was really here. This is the word. This is the word. So, let me give you those three Greek words. You ready for them? Okay. The very first one is Yoda. Yoda. That's not the little green guy in Star Wars, by the word. Yoda. Which means throw up your hands. Yoda. Hollow. Hollow. Which means boast. is Shabbat. Shabbat means to do it with a loud voice. Three Greek words that puts us into the category of praise that we really need to understand. So, when the Bible says to praise God, it's saying, throw up your hands, boast about Jesus, and do it with all that is in you. Is that okay? Matthew 26, verse 6 through 13, gives us a great story about worship. We learn many valuable things about worship through this scripture. You wouldn't think so by reading the scripture, but let's read it, and then we're going to dissect it, if that's okay. Matthew 26, verse 20, chapter 26, verse 6. Verse 6, starting at verse 6. And when Jesus was in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, a woman came to him having an alabaster flask of very costly fragrant oil, and she poured it on his head as he sat at the table. But when his disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, why this waste? For this fragrant oil might have been sold for much and given to the poor. But when Jesus was aware of it, he said to them, why do you trouble this woman? For she has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, but me you do not have always. For in pouring this fragrant oil on my body, she did it for my burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial for her. Wow! Do you understand that? Now, how does that relate to worship? How does that relate to worship? Let's dissect it. Verse 7 has three parts to it. The very first part of verse 7 says, and the woman came up to him with an alabaster flask of precious perfume. The woman came up to him. Now, let's think culturally. Let's think historically. A woman coming into a house where all men are there? Was that even called? Women were considered nothing. Men were the dominant force of that day and age. So a woman was to be seen and not heard. A woman was to put her place, and her place was in the kitchen, not out there with the men.
My husband still thinks that.
And I do agree. There are some men that still believe that. But this is such a powerful phrase, because at this time of the world, it was a male-dominated world. And for this woman to walk into this house where all the men were, that was amazing. Funny thing, they didn't just throw her out immediately. Okay, really? But let me give you the worship scenario of this. Worship is a universal privilege. Now, do you understand that? It's universal privilege. Gender doesn't matter. Age does not matter. Social standing does not matter. And race does not matter. Worship is the opportunity for all to enter into God's presence. For all, young, old. I have seen kids in worship that would put us adults to shame. They lift their hands in total adoration to God, close their eyes in tears flowing from their face, worshiping their Jesus. Did they care about anybody else? No. I have seen the elderly that can hardly get up, praising and worshiping God, standing to their feet where you don't think they were capable of doing that, and worshiping God. There is no respecter of gender. There is no respecter of boy or girl or man or woman. There is no respecter when it comes to worship. It's universal. We need to understand that. Teenagers Day, you need to understand that. You need to get into worship. Hallelujah. Because if you don't, the devil will get you. Psalms 150, verse 6 says, let everything that has breath and every breath of life praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Do you get it? So it's a universal privilege for us to praise the Lord. Now let's go to the next phrase in that, verse 7. And it says, it was with an alabaster flask, a very precious, and I believe expensive, perfume. In today's world, you can get all kinds of perfume. You can get the dollar version. You can get the $5 version at Big Lots. Or you can get the $100 to $200 to $300 to $5,000 version at Macy's. Or at Ultra. Or some of those places. So you have different versions. But it all costs something. Nobody's going to go out there and hand you this for free. Right? Do you understand? So I believe today worship costs you something. Worship is not free. Worship costs you something. Okay? It is not a religious event. David said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. He also said, I will not offer anything to the Lord that costs me nothing. He realized the cost of worship, the cost of praise. So if your praise and worship doesn't mean much to you, it won't mean much to God either. When you worship, you offer the most precious thing you have to God. You offer your heart. You offer your soul. That's what you do when you truly worship God. What you felt this morning was a glimpse of what worship is. But it's even more. I guarantee you there's not going to be any quiet side of heaven. When you get up there, there's going to be such a jubilee. I believe they'll probably hear it from the earth with thunders and lightnings. That's just us praising God in heaven. Hallelujah. Do you understand? That's worship. That's praise. That's all of you, not part of you. If you can't give God all of you, you might as well not give him any of you. Come on. God is selfish. He wants all of you. If it doesn't mean much to you, again I say, it won't mean much to God either. If you give God lip service, God will give you no service. You got to learn to give God all your service, all your worship, all your praise. Do you understand? Whew. I'm just in verse 7. The third part of that verse says that she poured it on his head as he reclined at the table. She poured it on his head. Worship must be poured out. It flows from you. It isn't something that is mere repetition. It is more than this, just the Lord's Prayer. Or now I lay me down to sleep. Come on. It requires you pouring out of your spirit. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. They that worship Jesus must worship in spirit and in truth. I got to get this in your spirit. You've got to get a hold of this. This world is changing. Churches are changing. And if you don't have worship, and it becomes no more than entertaining, God said, He won't have you. In Revelations, you become the Laodicean church. God said, He'll spew you out, vomit you out of His mouth. God wants a church of worship. God wants a church of praise. God wants all of you, not part of you. There's going to come a time where the church of today will be persecuted for their worship, persecuted for their praise, and only the ones that have worship pouring out of them will make it. If we give God lip service, again, God will give you no service. Pastor, why are you preaching so hard? Because I feel in my spirit God is coming. Church, God is coming. And He's coming for a church that's without spot or without wrinkle. He's coming for a church that will worship Him no matter what comes your way. No matter what schools might say. No matter what work might say. If it means losing a job because they won't listen to you, or they won't allow your Christianity, then you don't need that job. Okay? The schools cannot take away your Christianity. Now, they might be able to squinch it a little bit, but they cannot take away. There's too many things happening in the church, in the schools today, that's reversing what has taken place from Marilyn Herrera. She tried to take everything out of school. When she accomplished that, you see the degradation of schools today. You see the downfall of schools today. You see what's going play. Why so many schools today and so many kids today are getting out of schools and going to homeschooling or doing something to get away from that atmosphere because it's not good. I feel for those kids. My heart sinks for those kids in schools, in public schools today. They need a touch from God, not a touch from some of those scholars. I mean, I understand education and we need it. I'm not the one to say that we don't need education. We do. Okay? But not at the cost of your faith. Not at the cost of your faith. Oh, my goodness. Now let me take you to verse 8 and 9. And it says in the Amplified, "And when the disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, For what purpose is all this waste? For this perfume might have been sold for a large sum and the money given to the poor." Understand, this is what's going to happen in today's world, where people will be disillusioned. They will not understand. True worship is intimidating to the non-worshipper. Let me reiterate that. True worship intimidates the non-worshipper. It intimidates them. It makes them feel, uneasy. See, she had grown to a place of true worship that the disciples hadn't reached yet. And they were troubled by it all. They were troubled by it all. Instead of entering into worship, they began to find fault in worship. One true key about worship, if you don't enter into worship, a critical spirit will generally fill your heart and turn you against worship, against a church, any church that worship. Okay? But am I, as a pastor, going to let that affect me? Are you, as Christians, going to let it affect you? We've had our ups and downs as a church. But I stand to my ground when it comes to worship. If we get someone speaking in tongues, hallelujah. I believe in Corinthians where it talks about being in order. I do believe in a church service that we should have. If there's a tongues, there should be an interpretation. I believe that. Understand that. But worship is different. I have a glorious prayer language given to me by God Himself. And that prayer language is my language. Am I going to be stuck and hampered from that? I do believe I have a God that's an orderly God. And He has the ability to talk to you better than I do. And if it's time to have that order and you're a little loud, He can come to you and talk to you. Now, if He doesn't, maybe I will. Well, but He has that ability. We need more worship. We need more praise. We need more worship when you walk out that door. When you're in your car. When you're down at the grocery store and you meet some other Christian. How are you? It's good to see you today. I hope God is doing good things in you. Oh my goodness. Hallelujah. It's so good to see you today. How are you doing? Do you need prayer? Let's pray right now. Seriously. If you're embarrassed about God, put it together. If I'm preaching strong, I hope it's hitting you. Because I believe those that are worshipers are going to be the ones that make it. Those that are in being entertained or entertainers, I feel for them. I feel for them. Let me take you on. I only have a couple of things more. Verse 10 and through 12 says, but Jesus, fully aware of this, said to them, why do you bother the woman? She has done a noble, praiseworthy, and beautiful thing to me. For you always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. In pouring this perfume on my body, she has done something to prepare me for my burial. The highest places in heaven are reserved for those who worship the King. Hallelujah. Jesus commended her, said she was what needs to be done. He understood, hallelujah. The man sees the outward, the outside of you, but God sees the heart. When we gather in His name, we are here to worship Him. If we do everything else but worship, we turn His house from worship to religion. I gotta say that one again. When we gather in His name, we are here to worship Him, the Master. If we do everything else but worship, we turn His house from religion, from worship to religion. And I do not want religion. Hallelujah. Religion binds you. Religion forces you into things. Worship frees you. Worship opens you to things. Verse 13. Truly I tell you, wherever this good news, the gospel, is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will be done also in memory of her. Our times of worship are so important that God writes them down every time we mention His name and records them in a book. This lady will always be remembered for her act of worship. As someone has said, worship now is a warm-up for eternity later. Worship now. Today, let's come find your altar, whether it be there, whether it be up here, and let's find time to worship, which I know we've already done. Let's be that sweet aroma before the throne of God. Jesus is exalted to the highest, to the right hand of God, the power side of God, and deserves all of our honor, deserves all of our glory, deserves all of our worship forever and ever. The sweet aroma of praise is a song I want you to hear. But to do this song, I want you to close your eyes, because sometimes we get caught up in this world. We'll even get caught up a little bit in the video. I want you to close your eyes so that the world is not being attained. But I want you to hear the words, and I want you to begin to smell that sweet aroma. Because how many of you have ever been to service and you smelt the aroma of God? You smelt His presence. It's different. If you want to smell the aroma of God this morning, this is the time that you can do it by just getting into that praise, getting into that. Understand, worship is so many different things. Sometimes worship is boisterous. Sometimes worship is just silence. It's everything. That's why our God is a very, personal. He's versatile. He's very versatile. So let's take that versatility and do what God lays upon you as this song. Close your eyes. Everyone close. And let's play this song.
Lord, since You know everything about us tonight, honor the melody we make, not only with our lips, Lord, but with our hearts.
Creation, we confess the glory of You. Let my
Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. We worship, we praise, we glorify you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Take this with you today. Praise, worship, glorify, honor. Yes. Take more time to worship. Wherever you're at, in your cars, at work, at school, at the store. Okay? Be the worshipers that God wants you to be. And when you do that, you might be pleasantly surprised at the outcome. Because that's how much God loves you. And when you honor Him with your worship and you honor Him with your praise, oh my goodness, He'll bend over backwards to give you the desires of your heart.